Shema Yisrael.
Welcome to the broadcast outreach of Living God Ministries with Aaron Budgen. Aaron discovered Jesus is his Messiah while preparing to be a rabbi. He now teaches for several organizations and is the teaching pastor for Living God Ministries. Strongly distinguishing between the Old and New Covenants, Aaron presents the scriptures from a Judaic and historical frame of reference. Join Aaron now as he reveals the reality foreshadowed and the new life we can now experience because of what the Lord Jesus accomplished for us.
I'm presenting a verse-by-verse study through Ephesians, and in the previous message I was introducing Ephesians chapter 4. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1, it says, "I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called." And I was explaining that this has to do with resting in the love of God, that we are strengthened by the love of God. The need for love is not a weakness. It is an opportunity for us to be strengthened if we are the recipients of the love of God, and that we are to receive the love that He has for us and walk in our daily lives with what we have been given. That's what it means to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called. In most cases, people are looking at this as an opportunity to say, well, to walk worthy means that you had better get your flesh under control to be worthy of the love that God has given to you. But what I am expressing is the idea that you are to receive the love that He has given to you, and to walk worthy of it is to walk with it, to actually live your life and engage the world with the love that you have received from your God. Moving forward into verse 2, "with all lowliness and gentleness, with long suffering, bearing with one another in love," referring to the way that you relate to other people. So first of all, you'll experience peace and rest in your own heart, and then after that, you will begin to relate to others with the love of God that you have received, and you will have lots of opportunities to bear with one another in love. Verse 3, "endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace." And I believe that this is what Paul was referring to at the end of verse 2 with regards to bearing with one another in love, that when we do relate with one another, there are going to be a lot of opportunities for us to be disappointed or to feel uncomfortable because of the way that people tend to relate to one another, and that we are to bear with one another in love, and that this will be an opportunity for us to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace, as we are able to maintain peace with one another, especially in the midst of the usual conflicts that will normally take place between people, regardless of how well they may know the Lord or they don't know the Lord. And so in this message, I'd like to spend a little bit more time in verse 3 with regards to endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace, especially as it relates to the body of Christ, those who are of the church that we have been called to. In verse 4, he says, "there is one body and one Spirit." And so I'm going to refer to verse 3 as an opportunity to talk about the bond of peace between believers, that there will be opportunities for us to have disruptions in our relationships, and yet we should strive, we should endeavor to maintain unity with one another. Now, this, of course, can be quite a challenge. And the main reason why it can be a challenge is because not everyone believes the same thing. We are not all in agreement about everything when it comes to the faith, when it comes to our understanding of the scriptures, when it comes to an understanding of our God and how He relates to us. There are a lot of different opinions concerning this. And so just because of our beliefs, the way that we believe the scriptures, the way that we believe in our God, just because of the various ways that people believe, there can be a lot of opportunities for disagreement and a lack of peace, and of course, not much of a bond between people when they disagree with one another. So, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace is not always going to be an easy thing to do. Let me begin with talking about the separation that takes place between people. I'm going to start talking about the separation because then I think it will be easier for you to understand how people can be bonded with one another. The initial separation that happens when it comes to being a Christian, the initial separation that happens is a separation between a person who is a believer and those who are not. When you become a Christian, when you're born again by the Spirit of God, you will be separated from the world just because of that, just because of what you believe and because of what God has done. You will be separated from the unbelievers. And why is there a separation? What is this separation about? It's about the fact that you now believe something different than what you believed before. You believe something that you consider to be the truth. And when you take a position about something being true, well, there's going to be other people who do not believe what you believe, and they're just simply going to disagree with you about that being the truth. For example, if you have this belief that there is a God, there are a lot of people who do not believe that there is a God, and you will be separated from them in small ways, or in some cases in big ways, just because of what you believe. If you believe that there's only one way that a person will ever have eternal life in the kingdom of heaven, there's only one way for this to happen, and that if you do not embrace this one way, you will burn in hell for all eternity. If that's what you believe, you are going to be separated from other people who do not believe that. So when you become a Christian to begin with, you become separated from a lot of people, from those who are considered to be unbelievers. Now, when you become a Christian, you have an expectation that you are now joined together with the body of Christ, and you certainly are. But that won't mean that you're going to be joined together very well with all of the people who refer to themselves as Christians. You know, just because you have now become a Christian, if you have just become a Christian, just because you have now become a Christian, that doesn't mean that you are now going to get along well with every other Christian who is alive and accessible to you in this world. It doesn't mean that automatically. It doesn't mean that if you go to some church, any church, that you are going to be welcomed there, that you're going to be accepted there. You might be in some ways, and yet in other ways, you may not. It really just depends on the congregation and on the individual people. But I want you to understand that just because there is the existence of a body of Christ, that doesn't mean automatically that all the members of the body of Christ get along well together. In addition to that, there are a lot of people who identify themselves as Christians, and they go to church probably more often than anybody, and yet they may not necessarily be a Christian themselves. It just really depends. And you have to take each person on an individual basis and ask them questions about what they believe and why in order to get an idea with regards to whether or not they really are a believer. So just as you will be separated from the unbelievers, and there will be no bond of peace between a believer and an unbeliever just because of what they define as the truth, so also within the Christian world, you are going to find that there are a lot of people who believe a lot of different things, and it's going to be very difficult for you to find someone with whom you're going to share much in common and enjoy a bond of peace with another, because there are still going to be differences in the church or in the Christian community that you are a part of. There will still be differences with regards to what people believe and what they don't believe. But this is the point. In order for there to be a true and genuine bond between people, it has to be defined by the truth that they share in common. That's the only way that a person is going to really have a true and genuine bond with another and so that verse 3 can be realized, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace, the only way that's really going to be done is if there is a common agreement with regards to what is true. And for this to be supported by and participated in by the Spirit of God, it has to be consistent with what the Spirit of God, with what God says, is true. And so just because you have two people who may believe something that they believe in common, that they agree with one another, that does not automatically mean that they're going to have a genuine bond between the two, because what they believe might very well be a lie. And while they might enjoy some kind of a bond and peace between one another with regards to that, because of the emptiness and the ill effect of a false belief, there will be instability, and this bond is not going to be well-defined, well-established, certainly not necessarily going to be something that will hold these people together for the long term, at least not as well as you would expect. Now, of course, I am just speaking in generalities. You do have to take people individually and circumstances individually. All I can do is give you a general description of the struggle, of the issues, and of the importance of the truth. Now, when a person decides that they want to experience some sense of Christian unity, what we usually do is we usually go to a place where there perhaps already exists a community of believers who have a bond of peace with one another. We will go to a church. You know, that's the thing we do as Christians. We go to church. We go to a church. And when we go there, in general, we have the expectation that there will be a unity among the people who are present there at that congregation, at that church, and that there will be a bond between the people who are there, and that there will be a sense of peace among the people who are there. And depending upon where you go, there can be a lot of this, or there may be not much of any of this at all. Or they are bonded together for reasons that are other than the truth that God has revealed. And that can sound a little bit awkward, because we normally assume that if a person is in church, or if you're at a church, or even if a church exists at all, it's there for the purpose of the truth. But that just isn't really the way things are. And I don't think it will take a person very long to figure that out once they spend some time with whatever specific congregation they would like to go and spend some time with. You will discover that not everyone is there for the reasons that you would expect, or for the reasons that they say that they are there. They are not always there because they believe the truth. They want to be around other people who believe the truth. They want to live in the truth. They want to have a bond with other people because of the truth. That's, in general, not really why people go to church. We would like it to be that that's why they go to church, but that's not really why people go to church for the most part. And I'm able to say that with great confidence because I have been to an abundance of different churches, and I've asked enough questions of people as to why they are there. And I can tell you from conducting extensive research that this is just the way things are. And of course, if you don't believe me, well, you know, you might very well be a part of a church that is kind of an anomaly when it comes to this. And sure enough, most of the people in your congregation are really there because of a deep sincerity for a knowledge and understanding. They really want to know the truth of God. And if you got that, you know, good for you. But I'm going to tell you that in most cases that I have witnessed personally, this just isn't the case. And I understand that this is going to be a little awkward to say on Christian radio, but I have a short time available that I am able to make use of, and I will make it short and simple, and I will just get right to the point. So if this disturbs you in some way, don't worry, it won't take very long, and I'll move on to something else. But I'm going to take a moment to say it the way I really see it. All right, when you go into the general average church, general average congregation, the people who are there are normally, in general, they're not there for the truth as the primary reason why they are there. They are there for other reasons. And if you will engage in extensive conversations with these people, I think you will discover some things. For example, consider the leadership, you know, the people who are managing and running the business, which is what the church is fundamentally in most cases. It's a business. And so what do these leaders do, and why are they doing what they do? For the most part, they are there because they get paid, because it's a job. It's a way to get money. That's what they're doing there. And everything they do is for the purpose of getting money. Now, I will acknowledge that I have encountered a lot of leaders in churches who do have a deep desire for a knowledge and understanding of the truth and that people may know their God. I am a witness of that. However, I am also a witness of an abundance of people who definitely are not really interested in that at all. For them, it is nothing more than a form of employment. And it's important to recognize that that does occur, and it occurs a lot, and a lot more than I think people would like to admit. But it has to be said, it has to be acknowledged, because if you expect there to be a unity of the bond of peace within a community like that, when the leadership are only there for the money, well, then the bond of peace is not really going to be about the truth. And if you go in there with the truth, you might cause a significant disruption to whatever may be going on in this place, and you will find that there will be a lack of peace, and the way that they will solve that disruption is by removing you. And I know that there are a lot of you who are listening to this program who have experienced this personally, as you have gone in and discovered, by surprise, that people are not really there for the truth. They're there for other reasons, and you're not quite sure what they are. Well, I'll tell you that this is one of the primary reasons why people are there. And, of course, this is related to the leadership, because they are the recipients of the money that is normally extorted from the congregation. Extorted in the sense of, give me your money or God is going to punish you in some creative way. But, of course, not everybody's in the leadership. You have a congregation. You have a group of people, right? So what are they doing there? Why are they there? Well, you just need to ask, and you'll find out that a lot of people, they go to church to give their kids something to do. That's what they're there for. They are there in order to provide their kids with some good Christian activities and hopefully make some nice Christian friends with other kids and be a part of the children's programs and the activities that they all get to participate in one way or another, that it's about giving the kids something to do, to drop them off there. In fact, some parents will do that. They drop them off on Sunday morning, and then they don't stay for the services. They go out to breakfast and then come back at an appointed time in order to pick up their kids from the activities. This, of course, is an exaggerated example. It's a relatively low percentage of people, from what I understand, that do that. But there are others who go there just for that reason. A lot of people go to church just because of the music. You know, they're there in order to see the live band. That's what they're doing there. They are there to be a part of a concert, you know, and they can wave their hands. They can sing along, you know, and they can do things that might come close to the boundaries of religious exhibitionism. But that's what people are there for. They're there because of the worship music, because of the band. You know, there are many churches that I've been to, whereas on a certain night, just to give you an example, we would do a Bible study where we would just be talking about the scriptures. And then every once in a while, we would disrupt the usual weekly Bible study and hold a praise and worship service. All right, well, how many people were going to the regular Bible study? Maybe about 20 people, 30 people. Sometimes 50, 60 people, especially after I started teaching, a lot of people would start to show up. But then if we did a praise and worship service, how many people would show up that night? It would be hundreds of people. Hundreds of people. Would they be there the next week for the teaching? No, they're not there for that. They come for the band. They come for the music. They come for the entertainment. That's what they're doing there. They are there to give their kids something to do. They are there to be entertained, or they are there to get paid. That's what they're doing there. It has nothing to do with the truth, with being held together in the bond of unity and love in Christ Jesus because of the truth of our God. That's just not really a topic. People are there for business contacts, you know, in order to generate sales opportunities. If you're a real estate agent, the first question that needs to be answered is, where do you go to church? If you sell insurance, we gotta know where you are going to church. If you need employees because you own a business, where do you want to get these employees from? You want to get them from church. You want to get Christian employees. You know, those kinds of people who probably have some degree of integrity and are not just there in order to get money, in order to give their kids something to do or just be entertained by the band. They're there in order to get a job. That's what you're there for. You're there to find some employees or you're there to find a job. Some people are there looking for a spouse. You know, you want a husband, you want a wife, you go to church. That's where you're going to find nice, holy, godly people, right? That's where you go in order to find yourself a spouse. Or if you've got one, even better. You can bring your spouse over there and so the religious leader can be paid to tell your spouse to get their flesh under control. That's what you need. You need to go to church so that you can have somebody preach to your spouse about how they can be a better husband or wife for you. This is what people do. This is why they go to these kinds of places. And so when you go in there and you try to have some unity of the church, you know, and have bonds with other people as Christians, if you don't understand that there are multiple reasons as to why people go to church, then you're going to find yourself quite confused often. It really is unusual to find someone who really wants to know their God in a genuine way. It's not impossible. And when you find people with whom you are able to have a genuine bond with, it's going to be when you find a person who is in agreement with you with what you believe. If what you believe is not true, that bond is going to be exceptionally weak. But if what you believe is true, that bond will be quite strong. It's important to recognize that the strength of the bond and the strength of the unity is very much dependent on the reality that God has provided us, the truth that He has provided for us. And if what we believe is not consistent with what God believes, then you will find that whatever bond is shared is one that is quite weak. So there can be some wonderful opportunities to forge some very strong bonds with other individuals within a community. There is a lot of opportunity to do that, and I want to encourage you to continue to pursue that. But it's important to recognize that this is going to depend on finding a person who really does have a set of beliefs that is consistent with what you believe and with what God says is true. Just as when you were an unbeliever, you were separated from those who were believers. You did not have a bond with them. And when you became a believer, you were separated from the unbelievers. Whatever bond you did have with them would be broken or somewhat weakened because of your beliefs concerning the truth. So when people become believers, the closer they get to their God and the truth as He reveals it, the closer they will get to one another. And I will continue in the next program.
You have been listening to the broadcast outreach of Living God Ministries. You can hear all of our programs for free through our radio archive at livinggodministries.net. That is livinggodministries.net. Do help us develop new radio programs and continue broadcasting on this and other radio stations. Send your contributions to Living God Ministries, P.O. Box 38353, Colorado Springs, Colorado 80937. Or use the donation link on our website, livinggodministries.net. That is livinggodministries.net.